Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. You may have seen the headline in the paper recently, birth rate declines in U.S. Experts point to the recession as the reason. I don't know if the economy can cause lower birth rates. The data from states hit hardest by a poor economy seem to confirm the theory. Well, obviously, people are having less children. What happens if we're not even replacing the people that we do have? Some people say that's the best thing that could possibly happen. We need fewer people in the world. But it certainly doesn't help the economy. It certainly does not bode well for our future. We're going to talk about the decline of the U.S. birth rate and a fatherhood initiative launched by the White House. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What is the greatest danger of a declining birth rate if it sustains itself, or I guess in this case, doesn't sustain itself?
Well, declining birth rates, really, it's almost unprecedented to have a declining birth rate and declining populations outside of something like war or big natural disaster like the Black Death or something like that. The idea that birth rates would decline in a sustained way is really unprecedented in human history. And so we're, in a sense, charting unknown territory here as we look at declining birth rates. But the big dangers are that so many of our programs are based on an expanding economy, such as our whole social insurance network is based on the idea that the working people are going to pay taxes into the government coffers in order to finance the benefits that we've promised to older people and indeed to everybody, for that matter, but particularly the older people. And so if you don't have a continually growing population, it's not clear how you're ever going to pay for that stuff. And in fact, you're not going to pay for that stuff. What's going to happen is that the older people are going to end up getting less than they expected, and the younger people are going to end up working longer or working harder and paying more taxes than they had been led to expect. So it's not clear how it's all going to shake out, but it is pretty clear that the current situation is probably not going to be sustainable.
With only a minute here before we take a quick break, how do you evaluate the theory that this is in some sense caused by the sustained, now going on 22-month recession in the U.S.?
Well, I think there's a little blip that can be accounted for that way, Todd, and that's probably right. But the overall trend toward lower families and a smaller birth rate and stuff like that, that's being generated by something much deeper than the current recession. So, you can explain small changes and sort of what you might call immediate changes, short-term changes, but the long-term trend is a much bigger picture that requires a little bit more analysis than just the current recession. I mean, if you look at it, overall, income has been growing in the 20th century and the 21st century at a pace that is unprecedented in human history. And at the same time, birth rates are declining in a way that is unprecedented in human history. And so that suggests that there's something else going on besides the current recession.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the declining U.S. birth rate. Are big families, let's just talk about it in those kind of terms, big families good or bad for our culture? We look at them as oddities. And then we'll talk about this fatherhood initiative launched by the White House. This, of course, comes from President Obama, who knows whereof he speaks when he talks about absent fathers. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break as well. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, the 12th of August. 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. I grew up in what is now today considered a big family, five kids. That's considered an enormous family today. If you have three kids, people think you're overdoing it. Are big families good for the culture, good for the economy? We'll find out after this.
A new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about the declining U.S. birth rate. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the President's Fatherhood Initiative being launched from the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Used to be Faith-Based Initiatives. Jennifer, I grew up in a family, five kids, two parents, all at home. Not a very big house, by the way. And I don't remember it being considered an enormous family, just kind of a bigger than average size family. But today, five kids and two parents would be considered overdoing it by most. How do we respond to this?
Yeah, too many kids and too many parents, you know, for the average at this point. But yes, I was same situation, Todd. I'm the third out of six kids, and my parents were married for my entire childhood. They were married to one and only one person for their entire lives, as a matter of fact. And we grew up in a three-bedroom house, and we were my community, our family of six was an average size family. We weren't particularly a large family. But anyway, yeah, it's odd, the amount of pressure that people are under to produce only small families. And I think there are two things at work. I mean, one is that, of course, it's convenient to be able to have a small family. It's certainly cheaper and less trouble and all of that. And so if you couple that reality with the availability of pretty reliable contraception, number one, and number two, a rather powerful ideology that seems to say, oh, it will really be best for all concerned if we have fewer kids. Well, that whole combination of things, I think, has worked together to create both social and economic pressures for smaller families. So I think that's what's happening to us. And it's really interesting that it's happening worldwide. It's not just in the United States or even just in the rich countries where family sizes are dropping. Even in Islamic countries, family sizes are dropping. And in the Far East, family sizes are dropping. One of the smallest birth rate countries in the world is Japan. So, you know, there's something going on here that's a worldwide phenomenon, and part of it is rising incomes. I mean, demographers will tell you that that the rise of the modern world and rising incomes have a number of pressures for smaller families. Part of it, of course, is that out on the farm, kids were extra pair of hands. Kids were not just an economic liability, but actually contributed to the household. And with people being unable to contribute economically until they're 22 or maybe 25, extra kid, an extra child is not an economic asset to the family for a long time. So there's that factor. Then there's also the factor that as women's wages rises, it costs more to take care of kids, to stay home and take care of kids. The opportunity cost of women's time is going higher and higher. So for all of those reasons, all of those things, even without ideology, we're pointed towards smaller families. But if you add to that the very powerful impact of the zero population growth type of ideology, you're looking at a very powerful cocktail, intellectual and social cocktail for smaller families. And we're now to the point where in most countries, in most developed countries, certainly, the birth rates are well below replacement. The United States is one of the few of the industrialized countries that actually is at replacement levels of fertility. So we are an exception to the general trend, at least in that sense.
One more quick question on that subject. Andrew Hacker, a sociologist at Queens College of the City University of New York, is quoted in the New York Times saying, "Children are the most expensive item in every family's budget, so it's a good place to cut back when you're uncertain about the future." Is this how we ought to be viewing kids in terms of how much they cost?
Well, that's kind of a funny way to say it, because it almost sounds like, well, if you have five kids and a recession hits, it's like, okay, numbers 3, 4, and 5, you're out the door. We can't afford you anymore, you know. So obviously Professor Hacker doesn't mean that. He means the decision for future fertility, you know. I hope Professor Hacker doesn't mean a thing like that. But, I mean, you know, whether we think it's crass or not crass, the fact is that people's fertility decisions do respond to economic incentives to a large extent. And yet there is also a big non-economic component. And, of course, as people of faith, we have to be particularly alert to the fact that the very first positive command in the Bible is to be fruitful and multiply. You know, it's not to be fruitful and watch your budget. You know, it's to be fruitful and multiply. And I think that the worldwide trend for fewer kids is something that's having long-term effects that we haven't really thought through, and it's explored in a film that has been recently produced called it used to be called Demographic Winter. The first version of this movie, or the first installment of this movie, I should say, was called Demographic Winter. Part two is called The Demographic Bomb, or The Population Bomb. Rather than the population explosion or the population bomb, we're now talking about the demographic bomb. And there's a link to it on our website at theruthinstitute.org, because I'm one of the people that's interviewed on that program, really talking about some of the things that we're just now talking about, that what is the implication of fertility decline over the long term. And so they interview me and Professor Nobel Prize-winning economist Gary Becker. They interview Michael Connelly, who's written a book on the subject. You know, a variety of experts they have on there, including the father of the population bomb himself, Mr. Professor Paul Ehrlich of Stanford, and they basically have him on tape saying things that, you know, I'd be embarrassed to be saying because they've been proven so false. But he's really quite unrepentant and unapologetic about how badly his forecasts have all turned out. So you can learn more about that at ruthinstitute.org. Look at the very bottom of the page, and you'll see an icon for Demographic Winter, and that features an interview with me among all these other people that I'm talking about here.
President Obama wants to start a national conversation about fatherhood. He's commissioned a new fatherhood initiative. If this, if they were to ask for your advice, what would you tell them about fatherhood?
Oh, well, first of all, I think we have to say that I'm all for it. I mean, I'm all for a national conversation about fatherhood. And I think whatever one thinks of President Obama's policies and, ideological impulses and so on, he is in a position to do a lot of good for the cause of fatherhood. For this reason, this is a black man going to an office wearing a suit and tie, coming home to his wife, taking care of his children. He is a fabulous role model, and for black young men who need encouragement to get married and stay married, we've got all the encouragement we need right there in the White House, and I think it's a fabulous opportunity for those of us who care about fatherhood to really speak up and say that. Now, whatever policies he may or may not come up with, I think, are secondary at this point to the fact that he himself is providing black males, young males, with a viable role model and life course expectation for themselves, rather than, you know, some of the other role models that people seem to be modeling themselves on. So that's the first thing that I think has to be said about President Obama. No matter what he comes up with, no matter what this initiative does or whatever the task force comes up with, I think everybody who cares about fatherhood needs to be grateful that there's a good, responsible black father in the White House. This can only be a good thing.
So what specifically would you recommend? We've got about a minute here before we close up.
Well, I would recommend that we stop doing things to kick fathers out of the household. You know, so that's the first thing. That there are many men who want to be good fathers if they're allowed to. So you have to look at the policies that have to do with divorce and custody and things like that, the ways in which the state is pushing fathers out of the household. And then, of course, we also have to look at welfare itself and how it's structured and whether people are being given welfare because there's no man in the house, that if you put a man in the house and people get married to one another, they lose their public support. That is something that absolutely needs to change, that poor people are being taxed for getting married at a rate that really should not be going on. And so I really, really hope somebody addresses that at some point in the Obama administration, because that loss of the family is far more destructive than the loss of income to many, many households. You know, if people learn how to cooperate and learn how to work together for the good of the family, that's worth a lot of money when it comes right down to it. So I think that's the way the emphasis should change, that we allow for mothers to be supported when they're married, you know, and to be supported more when they're married than when they're not married. It seems to me that would be very fundamental.
Folks, check out the website for the Ruth Institute tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, thank you again.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we've got Hour 2 of Issues Etc. straight ahead. We're continuing our 9-part daily series on the Lord's Prayer. We've been through most of it, but now we're getting to the ending, which Luther says is the summary of it all. Deliver us from evil. That summarizes everything we ask for. It's kind of a negative way of all the other things that we seek in the Lord's Prayer. To be delivered from evil, or some translations will say, deliver us from the evil one. We'll talk about that petition in the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Stephen Parks of University Hills Lutheran Church in Denver when we come back for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. All call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 12th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address. We get your questions and comments right here in the studio, and we are back live with you on this Wednesday, August the 12th. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. When we come back, the 8th of our 9-part daily series on the Lord's Prayer, today with Pastor Stephen Parks, Deliver Us from Evil.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.